Tomorrow, Joe Budd from San Gervasi. This is the Rorschach, Georgia update from the 18th of December, 2025. Quick summary of what's going down in Georgia. Tuesday the 16th, European Parliament honored Georgian journalist Mzia Makhlobeli with the Sakharov Prize, its highest human rights award. Fellow journalists accepted the award from Makhlobeli since authorities detained her earlier this year for resisting police officers during a pro-EU demonstration. Journalists read Makhlobeli's speech, saying she accepted the award on behalf of all her colleagues fighting to save journalism in Georgia and for all political prisoners unjustly jailed for supporting the country's European future. She said that Russia remains Georgia's historical enemy and now controls the regime ruling the country. She said that Russia will not be satisfied just with Ukraine, Belarus, and Georgia, and if it is not stopped there, the whole continent will be in danger. Makhlobeli urged European leaders to transform their statements of support into action and use every available mechanism to put pressure on the ruling party. On Friday, the 12th European Court for Human Rights, ECHR, ordered the Georgian government to pay over 640,000 euros to 26 people hurt during the 2019 Gavrilov's Night protests. The ECHR found Georgia violated human rights, including freedom of assembly and freedom of expression, by using unjustified and excessive force. The court said that while authorities might have some reason to disperse the demonstrations, the use of rubber bullets was disproportionate, injuring 240 people, with two of them permanently losing sight in one eye. The ruling party blames the violations on Gogi Gaharia, former interior minister, even though he was promoted to prime minister soon after the protests. On Friday the 12th, former President Salome Zurabishvili criticized Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze and his haircut for attending a peace and trust forum in Turkmenistan, which Putin also attended. A picture of them standing close to each other was shared online, causing a storm of criticism. Zurabishvili called the picture horrendous and an undeniable sign of the government's pro-Russian direction. She said Kobakhidze's attendance, especially since he did not walk out when Putin was giving a speech, crossed a red line. She said that the forum's theme of neutrality is actually Russia's dream for Georgia, Ukraine, and other former Soviet states. Speaking of Russia, on Tuesday the 16th, during an interview with a Russian news channel, Mikhail Kalugin, a Russian foreign ministry official, said that Moscow is serious about normalizing relations with Georgia. However, he stated one condition. Georgia must not become a bargaining chip in any anti-Russian political games, whatever that means. Kalugin praised the Georgian dream, or the Kotsebi government, for showing healthy pragmatism, his term for wealthy cowardice, saying that Georgia avoided joining sanctions against Russia and rejected calls for opening a second front against the country. As a result, trade between the two nations has been booming. Kalugin says that despite there not being diplomatic relations between the countries, there are active connections that produce beneficial results. Georgian Legion is now officially part of the Ukrainian Volunteer Army. This move follows a decision by Ukraine's leadership to dissolve separate international legions and integrate foreign fighters into regular units. On Sunday the 14th, Dmytro Yadosh, the commander of the Volunteer Army, presented a combat flag to Mamuka Mamulashvili, the Legion's leader, to mark the occasion. Legion consists mostly of former Georgian soldiers with extensive combat experience. The integration aims to strengthen the Ukrainian defense, though some observers worry that reorganizing foreign units might impact future recruitment. Russia officially designates the Georgian Legion as a terrorist organization and recently sentenced Mamulashvili to 23 years in prison in absentia. On Monday the 15th, Patriarch Ilya II of the Georgian Orthodox Church formally barred Archmandrite Dorote Kurashvili from performing priestly duties. The official reason cited in the Patriarch's order is repeated violation of church canonical ethics. The disciplinary action follows the priest's consistent participation in pro-European protests and his sharp public criticism of the ruling party's pro-Russian affiliations. Archmandrite Dorote publicly stated that the order to remove him came directly from the government to neutralize his influence. On Friday the 12th, the Kotsebi Parliament passed a law creating a unified database for citizens with mental health issues, alcoholism, or drug addiction. Ministry of Interior says the database is a public safety tool, will help officials check health status before issuing gun permits or driver's license. It'll also screen police job candidates. Police find a gun owner in the registry, they must seize the weapon within 48 hours. Critics say the law is unclear about who qualifies for inclusion in the database, and that giving sensitive diagnoses to the Internal Affairs Ministry violates privacy. They fear the registry only gives the state a tool to monitor and stigmatize specific groups, which the ruling party has a history of doing. To read more about the controversial database, check out Elena Koridze's English language opinion piece for OC Media, link in the show notes. On Wednesday the 17th, Radio Free Europe reported that Michael O'Flaherty, Council of Europe's Commissioner for Human Rights, sent a formal letter to Georgia's Prosecutor General regarding the police response to the November and December 2024 protests. This move follows a BBC investigation suggesting police used a chemical called Kamete in water cannons, which we have reported on in previous shows. O'Flaherty says that during his January visit to Georgia, the Deputy Interior Minister assured him that the water contained no chemical additives. However, the Prime Minister and other top officials now say they did use chemicals, though they described them as non-toxic. O'Flaherty is asking for a status update on the investigation into police misconduct during the November-December protest. He says that while the state has prosecuted many, many more protesters since then, not one single officer has faced charges for using excessive force. Roads are about to get a lot more dangerous with the Kotsevi's announcement of an amnesty for drivers who had their license suspended before the 10th of December. The amnesty will affect over 23,000 people. This one-time amnesty covers licenses lost due to administrative offenses like drunk driving, fleeing an accident scene, refusing to stop for police, and possession or use of small amounts of cannabis. For context, the first 9 months of 2025, 345 people died due to traffic accidents and 6,000 were injured. Georgian households should prepare for more expensive utilities starting in January. On Wednesday the 17th, David Nadimania, the head of the National Energy Regulator, said electricity prices will definitely go up. He also expects a slight increase in gas bills, but water prices should stay the same for now. Officials will announce the exact new prices after their final meeting on the 29th of December. On Monday the 15th, the Georgia National Film Center awarded a grant of over 950,000 lari, which is about 350,000 US dollars, to a film directed by Gogi Haindrava, the infamous Kotsevi propagandist and dip. His ties to the Film Center have been known for a while. He attended the Shanghai International Film Festival last year as part of the Film Center's delegation. Despite not being an employee, over 450 filmmakers have been boycotting the Film Center for over 2 years, saying it has been taken over by the Kotsevi. They accused the center of rewarding political loyalty over merit, with Haindrava being a prime example. He is also probably the only member. We called around for somebody who's actually seen one of his movies made after 1989, but couldn't find anybody. And finally, a major gap was discovered between official trade records and market data regarding Georgia's car reselling business. According to the National Statistics Office, the country exported only 8 cars to Russia this year. However, Sergei Teslikov, head of Russia's analytical agency Autostat, reports a very different figure. 35,000 used cars have actually entered Russia, a threefold increase compared to last year. Call us crazy, but we feel like the discrepancy might just indicate a dedicated government effort to bypass international sanctions. Experts say dealers list countries like Kyrgyzstan or Kazakhstan on official paperwork, but the cars stay in Russia. This also explains why Georgia's resold car exports to Central Asia has surged past $1 billion. While Georgia officially banned reselling cars to Russia and Belarus to comply with sanctions, these numbers suggest the trade continues with the fake Central Asian destinations. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to check out our new t-shirts with a link in the show notes. Nachvandis.